Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us tonight together as a family, bringing us here in this place. Because you want to bless us. You want to commune with us. We thank you that for everything that you've already prepared ahead of time for each one of us tonight. We believe that we're here as we have been divinely ordained by you, as you led us here tonight, because there are things that you want to do for us. There are things that you want to impart to us. There are things deep inside that you want to influence within our life. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for such freedom. There's such a freedom in here tonight to worship you. We thank you for the clarity of the atmosphere. As you were the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Lord, we just pray the rest of this night that each of us would be open to fully receive everything, that there would be no heaviness or no confusion or no cloudiness of any kind that could hinder our ability to fully absorb and receive and understand everything that you have for us. We just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Well, it's good to see everyone. Tonight is the once a month prophetic meeting place service. And in this service, what we do is I'll bring a little message and we will minister to you today. Or tonight, I should say, and we're focused on 1 or 2 minute prophetic words. So, how many of you have been to one of these services before? Okay, so most of you should know you have to bring your own recording device, right? Okay, so if you want a prophetic word at the end of the service, we do 1 or 2 minute prophecies, and but you need to have some form of a recording, or if you want to write it down, then we'll have the team up here available for you. If for some reason we call you out during the service and minister to you, then your prophetic word will be on the message CD. So tonight I want to talk to you about responding well to personal prophecy. I've had the privilege of being at Voice Ministries for a long time now, and I've had the opportunity to teach a lot of things related to hearing God and prophecy, but this is an issue you'd think that I would have taught on a long time ago, but it just seems like it never came up on the Lord's radar. A lot of us already read books and different things, and you hear different words that said how to steward our prophetic words. Well, tonight I want to talk about it because many of you have prophetic words, and we want to make sure that you know how to steward them, how to respond properly to them, how to respond well to them. How many of you have a personal prophecy? How many of you in this place, work with me here, how many of you had a personal prophecy? Okay, how many of you still have prophetic words that are yet to be fulfilled? Okay, so if there's something that we need to be doing, maybe we're not, then maybe this message could help you tonight in some way be a benefit, or maybe you can help someone and be a benefit to them and share with them something that you could glean from this message. So responding well to personal prophecy. I'm already assuming since you're here tonight, Is there anyone here that doesn't know what prophecy is, personal prophecy? Okay, I think most everyone does. So just a quick simplified definition is a personal prophecy is when someone speaks on God's behalf, his mind, will, and heart to you. And it can be in a very simple form, or it can be complex, it can be something that's on a CD, or it can be a few words. But a personal prophecy is something that is definitely inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it has to do with your past, present, or your future, but it is meant to edify, exhort, and comfort. So if you have notes, is there anyone who doesn't have notes that needs notes? Okay, we have some hands raised. Oh, there's quite a few people here that we need some notes. Okay, we're going to get those notes to you. Thank you guys for handing those notes out. So if you might want to just, as they come by, keep your hand up so they can see you, so they can get you your notes. Okay, great. Each one of us are responsible for the personal prophecies that we receive. Sometimes it can be a misconception that we think, well, if it's a prophecy, it's just going to happen and I don't have to do anything about it. There really is a lot of misconception about what prophetic ministry is today, the difference in the Old Testament prophetic ministry compared to the New Testament prophetic ministry. There's a lot of misconceptions, and I think that sometimes, you know, we can move and go forward in our life having some misunderstandings. Well, tonight I want to make sure that you know and have it very well clarified that you are responsible for every prophetic word you receive. Every personal prophecy that you receive, you are responsible for it. And what I mean by responsible is you have a responsibility to partner with God for the fulfilling of your prophetic word. Does that make sense? You have a responsibility to co-labor. Because what a prophetic word is, essentially, is a seed. It's something that God speaks prophetically, and there's potential here. And if you come into alignment with whatever requirements are there, because all prophecies are conditional. Now, there are unconditional prophecies, like, you know, prophecies in the Bible about Jesus and so forth. But all personal prophecy is conditional. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But number one, each of us are responsible for the personal prophecies we receive. 1 Timothy 1:18 and verse 19 says, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, addressing Timothy. It says, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience." We need to remember and consider our personal prophecies, working to do our part to see them accomplished. And so the Apostle Paul was reminding Timothy of what his prophetic words were, what was prophesied over him. We have to contend for these prophecies. How many of you have some prophetic words? You really are waiting for some good stuff to come to pass. How many of you? Okay. So I admit I've been pretty lazy at times about contending for my prophecies and taking responsibilities. And that's why one of the reasons it's not good to have too many prophecies. Because what can happen, you have too many prophecies, they lose their value to you. They don't seem as valuable, as important. They just seem like another prophecy. So I have several prophecies, and it's good to write your prophecies out and review them, as what I'm going to say here in a minute, or touch base on in a minute. But it's just important for us to know that we have a role to play in personal prophetic ministry, in the fulfilling and the seeing to that it's established according to God's will. Number two, we want to test the prophecy. The Holy Spirit is not angry. I've spoke with people in the past, and they've said, "Well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to test. I don't want to offend God." But the Bible says, you know, that we're not to put God to the test, but we're to test prophecies, right? And He does tell us to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. We can put God to the test by being disobedient and so forth. That's not what He's talking about. But what He is talking about is we're supposed to test the spirits. Amen. We're not supposed to just believe every spirit or what everything anyone says. If they says in the name of Jesus, thus, thus, and such, we need to put these things to the test, and we test them. The first rule, the measuring rod, is Scripture. We put them to Scripture, and we measure them that way to begin with. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 22 says, "Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine or test everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil." Letter A, test prophecy against Scripture and the character and the nature of God. So when someone is to say something that sounds very unbiblical, like for instance, we know that if someone was to say, "Thus saith the Lord, God says, I don't forgive you, and I'm upset with you, and I'll never forgive you, says God." Now we know that that right there does not line up with Scripture, right? So that is one that we don't receive at all, and we don't take that and put our faith in it, do we? So we need to test Scriptures. We don't want to be ignorant. I mean, when Apostle Paul talks in Scripture, he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts." And we don't want to be ignorant of the prophetic ministry and how God speaks to us and how all that works. We need to know that prophecy is supposed to be tested. Let me give you an example of one of these, like a prophecy that would not line up with Scripture. If you get a prophecy to take revenge on someone who has done you wrong, and the person prophesying quotes Leviticus 24:19, verse 19 through 20. If a man injures his neighbor, just as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture to fracture, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, just as he has injured a man, so it shall be inflicted on him. And so the Lord says, get your revenge, or take justice into your own hands, even if it's quoted scripturally. I think most of us knows this goes against the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, the character of God, and Scripture. Romans 12:19 says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There's other scriptures, there's several scriptures like this, but this is just most of us know this. This is kind of a crude example of what we can expect, you know, if we need to be able to know the Bible well enough and to get into the Scripture. When you get a prophetic word, take your word and begin to outline it and study it in the Bible, unless you already know the Scripture so well. Are you guys with me? So we want to do this. We want to take every prophecy. I mean, the written word of God is the eternal standard. By any that all forms of revelation, impressions, anything that is claimed to be inspired of God is to be measured against. Number three, review your personal prophecy with your church leadership or spiritual oversight. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Our church leaders are there. God has placed our church leaders there to help us grow as a safety to us. Amen? So we need leadership. We need church leaders. And now, we want to be practical and realistic. Every time we hear something, we don't need to go run into our pastor and make an appointment. We'll wear our leadership out. Are you guys with me? But if there's something significant and you get a personal prophecy, it's good that they hear what your prophecy is. Then they can also say, you know, they can see what God has already said, and then what is spoken about you, they can come and agree with you in prayer and faith. If there's something that doesn't seem right, then you can pray about it together. Does it make sense? A, letter A, we need accountability and relationship with those who have walked with God and have His heart. God has given church leadership grace to help us. Church leadership and spiritual authority has God-given grace to help us, and we need to be able to make sure that they understand prophetic words, if there's something about our destiny, something about our identity and calling. And they also will help us keep accountable. Hey, how have you been praying? Have you been praying about your prophecy? You know, have you been taking it to the Lord? And then also, too, it's like, we don't think that's from God. We need to pray, you know, let's spend some time on this. And so church leadership are safety nets for us. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but wise is a man who listens to counsel. That is one of the big things. We have pastoral leadership and shepherds, is that they have the heart of God for us. And when we can meet with them and share this thing with them, then it's like we're getting their counsel, because prophetic words often aren't fully understood. Amen? There's a lot of things, there's depth to them. And oftentimes our own personal prophecy can be the hardest to understand, because we try to logically make sense and to add all the math up, and things we're like, well, I don't see that happening. Or this doesn't make sense. Some of our leaders see qualities and gifts in us that we don't even recognize sometimes. So, number four, don't make major decisions based on one prophecy. We need confirmation of all different kinds. As much confirmation that God will give us in every area, let's wait on Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I have struggled with patience before and waiting on the Lord for confirmation. Especially if it's a prophecy I like and it's something that I want to happen, I will want to run forward and make it happen. you know, that kind of a thing. But over the years, as I've matured a bit with God, I've learned to become more and more patient, and I've learned to let some of those words just kind of like, you know, like how when you're making a stew, you just kind of put it on the back burner and just kind of let it simmer a little while and just let it cook. Let your prophetic words cook a little bit. Let God bring up further confirmations, because one of the things that I found is one of the great confirmation filters is time. When you give it time, I have been involved in things I sure they were God because I felt so strongly about them. I felt so good about it. I was sure it was the Lord. I was sure it was the word of the Lord. And as time went on, I began to discover that it wasn't the word of the Lord. It was the word of Roy. Yeah? And so time is a big thing. Don't be too quick to make a decision. This is another thing that I found. For me, any prophetic word or anything that's come my way that's supposed to be like Lord letting me know something, and I have to make a decision right then, and it's a right now thing, for me it has never been God. Never. Now maybe for you it's different. But I know for me it's like, there's this business opportunity, you need to get in it while you can, or you need to buy this vehicle, you know, because it's such and such price and you got to get it right now, or so on and so forth. Every single time, it's never been God for me. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary." As we wait upon the Lord, there is a supernatural grace that God gives us that sustains us, that gives us physical, I believe, a total man, spirit, soul, and body, strength. Letter A, prophecy should never become a substitute for relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is one of the biggest pitfalls of personal prophecy, is it can be real easy to get a CD, to get in line, to get a prophetic word, and then you not pray about it, you not do your own prayer and not listen. How many of you know that it's work in hearing God? We call hearing God the art of hearing God. It's an art. It's work. It takes relationship. It takes discipline. Hearing God is not just sitting down and all of a sudden you hear something. God has a way of making us press in through relationship, and He speaks in a multitude of ways. And so one minute we might get an impression and hear a clear thought, but the next minute, next time we may not be hearing anything, and we just need to spend time in worship, and we have an overall sensing of what God is saying to us. Does that make sense? So it takes relationship, but prophecy is never supposed to be a substitute for the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man or a woman's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand." We want God's counsel. We don't want our own hamburger helper in our prophecy, right? We can sometimes, it's amazing how we can hear or think or interpret a prophecy into what we want it to be when it's not that at all. Letter B, we must be willing to wait on God to use other means of confirming our prophecies so we are sure that it is Him. 2 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9. "Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." Letter C, we can be presumptuous and make decisions based on our own opinion and desires and not understand what the prophecy really means. We can read into a prophecy what we want it to say. I have many stories over the years of situations that I've encountered. You know, one of the ones that stood out to me the most was I remember years ago prophesying to a man promotion. I prophesied promotion in a man's life. And it was about 3 or 4 days, and I got a call from a pastor, and they asked me about that prophecy. This is why you always want to have it recorded, too. You want to always record your prophecies. Because if you don't, then now it's your word against that person. And it always leaves a little bit of doubt. You know what I mean? So you always should have your prophecies recorded. So anyway, if it's possible, this pastor calls me and said, "Did you tell so-and-so to quit their job?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, where did they get that idea then? Where did they get the idea that you told them to quit their job?" And I said, "I don't know. I heard the Lord say promotion for them." And so you know how what they did is they're in their mind, they read into this promotion. Well, I don't see me getting promoted where I'm at. In their natural mind, they stepped out of the spirit realm and went into their their spiritual mind, or the mind of Christ, into the natural mind and says, well, I don't see it working out here, so it must mean I have to quit my job and God will promote me some other place. You see how that's a lot of hamburger helper in that prophecy? We want to really be careful with that. It is so tempting at times to push prophecies and to make prophecies happen. God doesn't need our help to make a prophetic word happen. If he puts conditions like, if you pray, if you seek my face, as time goes on and then you grow, those are conditions. Those are things that we have to do. You know, if I pray, that means I must pray. Yeah, as you're in my presence, you will have my mind in a greater way. That means I need to be in his presence. There's conditions in prophetic words. How many of you have realized the conditions in your prophetic words? Oh boy, I hope I see a few more hands than that. Oh really? You need to reread them. Listen to them again. Listen to them again. And I bet you'll find a condition or two in your prophecy. Number 5. Fulfill all conditions put on the prophecy. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We have to persevere in our prophecies. Sometimes we don't know this, but the more prophecies we get, the more work we're piling on our shoulders, so to speak. Every time we get a prophecy from God, we have a responsibility to that prophecy. And that prophecy, everything in that prophecy, there's all the grace there that is meant to make us and mold us into the person we need to be able to steward the promise. So when we get a prophetic word, it's like we already have the toolbox of God already all opened out, ready to chisel us away and work at us to make us into the person that can steward that promise. Does that make any sense? Boy, it's quiet in here right now, isn't it? What do you think that young David, you think he was really ready to be king? Was he not commissioned as a king? I mean, the prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets to ever walk on the earth, anointed him as king. But how long did it take? I think it was 13 years, wasn't it? 13 years? How much sorrow, suffering, pain, and agony did he have to go through in order for that word to be fulfilled? So I ask again, how many prophecies do you have? How have you ever noticed that when you get a prophetic word that sometimes the opposite begins to happen? Do you know you're in process? And that prophetic word is pruning you, it's shaping you, it's making you and molding you. And we get sifted and we get tested by our own prophetic words. Sometimes it can be easy in the natural mind to say, boy, that guy was way off. They blew that prophecy. That must be a false prophet. That Roy guy, he's a false prophet over there at Voice Ministries. He said such and such, and the opposite started happening. Not to say I've never missed it. I've certainly missed it. Letter A, prophecies are conditional. You cannot live a carnal life and reap the rewards of righteousness. If we expect a prophecy to be fulfilled, and thus saith the Lord, you're pure, you're holy, the Lord's calling, and then we start running in and we start living an adulterous life and so forth, how can we believe that prophecy is going to come to pass? Yeah? Now sometimes if we're already in a situation, God will speak of that which is not as though it were, and we're in a desperate situation, and God will call us out, and He'll release a creative word of prophecy. But if we are in living a life of righteousness, and God's calling us to something, how can I be the apostle I'm prophesied to be if I go back to living my life as if I don't know Jesus at all? Make sense? There are conditions. Be prophecies condition you so you become who you need to be to steward the promise given you. An example, here's a biblical example, Psalms 105, verse 15 through 22. How many remember Joseph? Okay, Joseph who was put into prison, okay? This psalm is about Joseph. Now remember Joseph, when you look at the scriptures, there isn't about Joseph, there's not a lot of prophetic stuff except for, in the beginning of everything, he has two dreams. How many of you know a prophetic dream is a prophetic word from God? Yeah? If it's from God, it's a prophetic word. It's inspired by God. So, Psalms 105:15-22 says, "Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm." And he called for a famine upon the land, he being God, and he broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king set and released him, the rulers of the people, and set him free. And he, God, made him lord of his house, or that would be Pharaoh, excuse me, of his house, and ruler over all his possessions, to imprison his princes at will, that he might teach his elders wisdom. And we read of Joseph, we see that. So that the word of the Lord tested him, and to the fullness of time came to pass. You know that the word of the Lord is testing you. You guys with me? And it's the way God's process. It's the way he does things. Look at Abraham. Look at how many prophetic words he got. It was many of them. Sometimes the clearer the words are, it's because there's a greater trial and greater faith required for us to be or to do what the prophecies say. Okay, number six. We're about ready to wrap this up here. We need to contend for the promise the Holy Spirit gave you. You need to contend for the promise. How many of you have been contending for your promises? Any of you? Boy, we got to get to work, don't we? Wow. We got to add our faith. We got to add prayer. We need to call down what God has given us. We need to write out and meditate on the prophecy. Envision it. Extend your faith for it. It's going to be difficult. Maybe for some prophetic words to come to pass, if you don't have faith that God can do it. Letter B, pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray in the way that the Holy Spirit leads you and you seem to have grace when you pray for your prophetic words. Listen to them, review them. There's something about when you review prophetic words and you that it's just like there's, the grace is there. A prophecy often is God's vision for your life. It's what you're destined to be. And remember, it's a seed potential. There's conditions. Letter C, as it is in heaven. Remember, that's part of the Lord's prayer. As it is in heaven, you have been given a promise, and it's already fulfilled in heaven. So by faith, claim it and call it down into your life. If God has already said this, it's already been given to you. It's already yours. So by faith, claim it and call it down into your life. Matthew 16:19 says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in the heavens. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." It's been given to us already. We need to call it down. How many of you have the faith to call down that which has been given to you that's laid up in the heavens? Yeah? Are you orphans? No, you're not orphans. You're sons and daughters. You have a divine inheritance. Sometimes we can have poverty thinking like, oh, I'm an orphan. God loves them, but he doesn't love me. You know, that's absolutely one of the biggest lies out there. God is no respecter of persons. You have an amazing future. You have an amazing destiny. We have to co-labor with God so that our promises are manifest. It shapes us. It turns us into a new person. Remember, God is more... I've heard Graham Cook say, God's more worried about who he's called you to be tomorrow than who you are right now. So God is making us and has a plan for us to become more like Jesus, more like Jesus, more like Jesus as we contend and we call forth for the things that God has given us and to be manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Then we are agreeing with heaven that whatever's in heaven needs to be manifest on earth. We are called to help steward the kingdom of God. God wants his kingdom manifest on earth, right? And that's what we need to do. We need to, as it is in heaven, so be it on earth. Are you guys with me? 1 Timothy, again, it talks about keeping with the prophecies once made about you, and that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, or fight the good fight. We need to take our prophetic words. Some people think that means that we need to battle over our prophetic words. I don't think that's a bad interpretation, but really it is, when you have a prophecy, you have a new weapon. Do you understand that? That's what that scripture means. Let me read this. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience. You have a new prophecy. David stood before Goliath, and he knew he was called to be king. He knew he was called to be king. So did he think he was going to die? He had a prophetic word, didn't he? And it was a weapon in his hand. It's like a spiritual weapon. Our prophecies are like spiritual weapons because they're the very word of the Lord over our life, and we can use them to contend against our natural circumstances and anything that opposes us in the spirit. Amen? So I want to encourage you, if you haven't thought about getting out your prophecies, hey, we're in a season of restoration and breakthrough. We're in a season right now. Get your prophecies out. If you haven't written them, make a date with God. Sit down, go through. If you got to, just outline them and get the outline. Listen to them. Get your faith stirred up and believe that you're a son or a daughter. And what God has said to you, what He means for you, will be fulfilled and can come to pass. Amen? We're going to go ahead and do some ministry. I'm going to have the prophetic team go ahead and come on up. So if you're on the prophetic team, go ahead and come on up with a recorder. And we're going to minister to some of the folks out here. How many drove 50? Is there anybody here that drove 50 miles to get here? 50 miles. 50 miles? We got one? How anybody else? Okay. How far did you drive? Benton Harbor, St. Joe. Okay. And then how far did you guys? Kalamazoo. Yeah. I remember seeing you guys quite a bit. Yeah. And, sir, what's your name in the red shirt? Eric? I have something for you here. Do you happen to have a recorder or anything handy? Okay. Eric, I hear the Lord say that you're coming out of the wilderness. I see you like in a place like wilderness, like a challenging, difficult place to be. And it's almost like you're coming into a clearing now. And it's like God has given you fresh vision and fresh hope that, hey, I'm coming out of this thing. There's a different liberty. There's a different freedom. And I feel like God's been stirring you for new hope, new passion, new vision. I heard the phrase new endeavors. And I just see you like dreaming again. It's like maybe you've been in this place of waiting and thinking, man, why dream here? Because nothing, I'm so limited, I can do so little bit. And I just see a lot of tools that God has given you, like spiritual tools that you have a lot of gifts, skills, and abilities. And I see you have a brilliant mind. It's like I see blueprints. I feel like you have a builder's type of a calling. And what I mean by builder, like it's kind of an apostolic grace that you get vision to make something happen and to build and to co-labor, like holding God's hand. We're going to build this thing you want to together. And it's, you're able to like understand what's necessary to start it out and to complete it. And I just see you like a very big resource in the kingdom and in the church where you're at, that if someone was to come to you and say, hey, we want to just bounce some things off of you, that you'd be asset and kind of like a, you know, like a brainstorming group of some kind, and that you have a lot of good ideas and God has given you a lot of wisdom. But I feel like there's a business grace on you that you're coming into a time where God is going to give you some opportunities to like, I see a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of things that you've got going on. But I feel like God wants to bless you financially, but that you are a resource man for the kingdom of God. And I just see God giving you dreams and new ideas, but I feel like you're just coming into your own. That God is getting ready to really promote you in some big ways. It's like I just see like a running back who just got the energy to just like hit it hard. And so I feel like God's going to give you the ball somehow, and that you're going to run, and that some of the deepest passion inside you is going to begin to come to fruition, and people are going to really see that God is doing something amazing in your life. Amen? God bless you. So if you'd like a personal prophecy, why don't you go ahead and you can come up front, stand in front of one of the ministers, and we ask you not to double dip, if you know what I mean. Trust the Lord that whatever He has for you tonight is what He wants you to have. And so find someone to stand in front of, and we're doing a 1 or 2 minute prophecy. And please have something to record, because we, in this setting, we can't record and give you that. We have them up here for our own safety, lest someone says, I tell them to quit their job. Yeah, because we won't do that. But God will promote you. Amen? Amen? Okay, so I'm just going to also pray a prayer of dismissal. And those of you that want to go ahead and leave, you can leave. And those that want ministry can go ahead and stay and receive ministry. Lord, we just thank You for everyone here. I bless them in the name of Jesus. We bless every marriage. We bless everyone who's single. We bless every family, every church, every city, state, ministry represented in the name of Jesus. We call for increase. Lord, I pray that every person here would leave with a greater impartation, a greater grace, a greater understanding of how You speak. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys next time.